Again. Direct from the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole. Sorry.
That's twice that we've ever
done.
You're not
gonna leave
it.
Every time.
You're not going to leave it? Oh, that's kind of spontaneous.
No, we left it.
Good.
Because it sounds like we're having a good time. You know?
It's like that's the bell before we have to start.
I love so bad. You should start like that again. Your new favorite podcast. Again.
Break period's over. Back to class, kids.
Welcome to Superiority Complex. For those of you who don't know, we do record here at Undercity Comics. Check them out on the web, Undercity Comics. And we do the show during the regular business hours, so customers are walking in and out, and there's a little beeper in the back because the studio is right next to the manager's office. If you're in the office doing whatever you need to do in the manager's office, you need to know if somebody's walking in the front door.
I thought that was the bathroom.
So from time to time, you'll hear that little beep. That just means someone else is joining us to stare in the window and wonder what the hell we're doing.
I wonder how many people that drives nuts, like they think they're in the car.
Oh, so many.
They're in the car, they're like, is that behind me? Or
we get a lot of people talking about
it. Is that like my seatbelt or the door?
We thought it was the microwave for the longest time.
Please sign our petition to remove the beeping.
My friend was Undercity College. Paranoid about it. He started getting paranoid with that beeping.
I wonder why. We have a special guest in the studio today. Let's address that first and foremost.
The elephant in the
room. Hi, Anita.
Not special, but thank you.
Anita's been here once before, and Anita wanted to just sit in, and we ended up dragging her into the show. And then later on, she made the comment that she wanted to be on her own episode. And why would I just throw her in the mix when she didn't really get an episode?
Yeah, because you didn't give me all of the good things you give your other guests, and that was just...
What didn't I give you?
You didn't give me what is that game called? Yes.
Did you bring choose one?
We can do choose one. But I got to go get it.
We haven't done that in a while.
No.
Yeah. We haven't had a lot of guests lately.
Well, unfortunately for you, Anita, the day you decided to join us was Digital Movie Club Day.
It was.
Which is also good. It's good and bad, but the good thing is you're here because we're going to do a bonus episode after this one. Where we're going to talk about the Game of Thrones finale. So you get to be on two episodes for the price of one. So you don't get the choose this, but you get the double, double, this, double, double, that.
Okay. I don't get a lot of Wednesdays off, so that means a lot.
We're gonna put them all in. We're gonna double up.
Plus, she saw both movies, right?
She did, which I was shocked. I said, hey, go ahead and watch Apocalypse Now, because it's on Netflix. I don't want you to incur any... And I didn't tell her about 1941, but she listens, and she went and rented it on her own.
How about that?
It was $3.99.
This is why we like Anita.
$3.99 on Amazon Video?
She participates. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She keeps it up. She might be a regular.
We don't want to know about her regularity. That's none of our business. So let's go ahead and jump into it with our Digital Movie Club. First thing we're going to do... is so these are the last two movies I had in the 70s.
I love the 70s.
And then 70s were a pretty good decade. I'm not going to lie. We got some good.
Oh, there's a lot of decade.
There are people who think that's the last great movie decade.
Anita, how many of the 70s movies did you follow along and watch at home?
Not a lot of them.
I'm
very behind.
Good for you. It takes a lot to watch.
But
all
Anita,
these
you're one of the listeners. Wait, you're not. You discovered the show late. Mm-hmm. And then you didn't go back and listen from the beginning, did you?
I don't know.
No, you started.
But I started as far as whatever is in iTunes podcast.
White Man Sauce is the first episode.
Was White Man Sauce the first episode where we did ranch dressing?
Well, that's real. That's an episode.
We did ranch dressing on tacos.
Probably.
One of the most infamous episodes.
I think it was like a, if not like a year and a half worth of.
Wow.
Podcast
what do you think we've gone? Do you think we're more seasons 1 through 6 of Game of Thrones, or do you think we're more season 7 and 8 of Game of Thrones at this point in our life?
Jesus.
So I do like the earlier ones where you guys are doing, because I like that Aaron was here, and
Aaron always
had some great insight.
Shout out to Bird Boy Cosplay. Bird Boy Cosplay and I were going to do I won't spoil it for you, but he was going to do his own weekly podcast, and I was going to co-host with him, but he kind of had to scrap it for a little bit. Hopefully it'll come back, because it's a really great idea. It's a really good idea. Yeah, he's great because he knows a lot of stuff. I've been trying to get him back on, but he's had some health issues, and he's doing okay now, but he had to take some time
off. Just saw him yesterday.
How's he doing?
He's good. He looks good.
Was he dressed as Tim Drake or...
He was snazzy as always.
Oh, yeah, he's always a sharp, full of sartorial splendor. Not unlike a young Duke Ellington. Justine, nothing.
I'm glad the room was silent. No,
Justine is nothing. Okay, so we've come to the end of the 70s. And as I was saying, it's been a great decade in movies. So what we do in the Digital Movie Club is we are going through my personal digital movie collection. Not all of my movie collection, because that's, oh God, I don't want to talk about how many movies that is. But just the movies we have digitally, movies that I know are available for so everybody can rent and get on board and we can watch them together. And we go through, it's kind of a collective experience. And it's been fun so far sharing my movie collection with everybody. So what we do at the end of the decade, we did this last time. We went through, and the 70s are chock full of movies. And so what we did was I put a call out on Twitter, and I said, what movies did we miss that you think are essential? And we had over 30 movies recommended for us. So before the show started, I gave each movie a number randomly, and then put the numbers in a randomizer and picked three. So we'll be watching three of those. Let me read real quick. Eric of Aragon recommended The Longest Yard, MASH, Harold and Maude, Bad News Bears, Rocky, Slapshot, Smokey and the Bandit, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Heaven Can Wait, Superman, Life of Brian.
Wait, there's another.
They did
body
a remake
snatcher?
Of Invasion.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers was remade in 78.
I was good with all of those except for Harold and Maude.
Life of Brian is one that I'm sure John would have liked.
Yes.
Then.
Shaking violently.
Josh Scott Fitzgerald recommended Nashville. What's wrong, John?
Nashville. It'd be very interesting to see how people responded to Nashville. Yeah, that's a weird one.
Josh Scott Fitzgerald, and then I'm Just a Girl. Angry Girls at Angry Girl 65. She recommended Sergeant Pepper's. By Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees, and she said she knows it would be an unpopular choice, but it's her favorite. So there you go. Suck it, everybody.
It is the Bee Gees.
That's her absolute favorite movie.
Disclaimer.
Josh Scott Fitzgerald, I'm sorry, is at JoshF618. And then our buddy Michael, our boy Brent, he's over at
Hustle Motherfucking Hustle.
Home Video Hustle. He recommended. I'm sorry. Jeff from Kung Fu Drive-In Podcast recommended Jaw Dodge, the Sean Connery science fiction epic.
Yeah.
And then Brent recommended Coffee, Shaft, Superfly, Foxy Brown, The Mac, Truck Turner, Dolomite, Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song.
I love the Truck Turner episode.
It was a good episode of the. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back way back. I think it was their second or third episode.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And then our friend, Michael Bagford recommended Woodstock, Vanishing Point, Billy Jack, Dracula 1972, Mitchell, Tommy, Quadrophenia, Death Race 2000, and Star Trek The Motion Picture.
There's a lot of great movies
Tommy's
in there.
Tommy's good, yeah.
So these are the three that got picked.
Oh, you did it randomly.
I did it randomly. Nashville, Coffee, which I was already going to pick anyway, so that works. So we're going to get some Pam Grier in here. And Star Trek The Motion Picture, which works out because we're going to end up watching Star Trek.
I thought we were going to vote on these. Didn't you say we're going to
vote? No, we're going to randomly.
John's not happy with this. He's like, there's so many good things on here.
I thought that was the whole point. We were going to vote on it.
Nope.
No?
No. Vote. Are you kidding? You want to vote on 30 movies?
No, Demarc.
I mean, we could make three sets of three and make Twitter choose for us.
We could do that. You guys want to do it by Death by Combat?
God, it's too bad.
Star I kind of like Death by
Trial by Fire.
It's so awful.
That's the thing. They can't all be good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look at the movies we had to watch.
Yeah.
We had to watch Moonraker.
That's going to be the answer every time. It's like, gee, that's kind of crappy, isn't it?
We had to watch Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
You're going to miss Moonraker when you see Star Trek
Bonnie
the Motion
and Clyde.
Picture.
Yeah,
Bonnie no kidding.
Clyde. That was in the 60s, though. But I mean, we watched all these bad movies.
All right, here's what. I'll take out Star Trek.
No, it's okay. I don't want to screw it up. You got to have a system. But it's too bad we're not getting Life of Brian or MASH.
I would knock out Life of Brian right out.
I mean, we could always just watch.
Because that's an automatic 10 for John, so I don't want that.
I would like to see
You know what's interesting
Life
is that Invasion of the Body Snatchers remake with Donald Sutherland and Jeff Goldblum. And
I would like a digital copy of this list.
How about,
so
okay, tell you what.
How
weeks. 2 weeks.
You want to do three more?
Yeah, fuck it.
We'll do three more and we'll vote on them.
Great.
Oh, we'll get John, you want Life of Brian? Because it'll go in.
You know what? That might be not be my vote.
I have actually never seen Life of Brian all the way through.
How many votes for you guys want to put it in there? Because we've never seen
it. I love Life of Brian. It's hilarious.
We'll watch Life of Brian. Life of Brian.
But Justine's going to hate it because it's a dry British humor. And she didn't like Monty Python.
Yeah, but I have to watch.
That's the one when they're in the restaurant and someone's choking?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the whole
thing.
No. That's the meaning of life. This is the life of Brian.
Okay, so do we have any votes for The Longest Yard, the original with Burt Reynolds? Anybody?
I mean, it's good.
The original MASH.
I have never seen MASH, so.
That's one vote for MASH. Harold and Maude.
Fuck that movie.
Whoa.
Bad News Bears, Walter Matthau.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
That's actually kind of good.
I've seen it.
Like everybody's like, ooh.
But we need one bad one in there.
Okay, then let's do Zardoz. If we're going to do one terrible one, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. I love it.
Okay, wait. Zardoz or Sgt. Pepper's?
Zardoz.
I've seen Sgt. Pepper's.
So and there's six of us. So, Anita, you get a vote today.
Make me hate the Beatles.
I've never seen anything.
Yeah, I don't
so
know
I don't.
These movies.
I've seen Sgt. Pepper's, so I'd rather see something.
And
I
you
didn't,
know what? I've never seen Zardoz. Has anybody here seen Zardoz?
No.
Okay, well, sorry. I'm sorry to Emma. Sorry to. No, it wasn't Emma. It was,
Emma.
I'm just a girl. Angry Girl 65. Very sorry. Sorry. Well, we're not done voting. So we're going to do Zardoz. So Jeff gets his in there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Five.
Can
we
see how long these movies are?
Nope.
I'm not gonna sit through a whole movie for 3 hours.
Nope.
Yes, you are.
Yep.
I love that. I'm not gonna sit through a whole movie for 3 hours.
Oh, you've actually seen Life of Brian?
Guys,
that recently.
Okay. I'm not kidding. Okay.
Yes, you made me watch it.
So then we have Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the remake. I think it'd be interesting to watch that
because we did the other one.
Yeah, but that's what everybody expects us to do.
Yeah.
Oh,
who expects that?
Give me a new story.
You got Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty, your favorite.
Let's do 3 weeks.
We've got Superman.
Let's just watch them all. That's fine.
We got Superman, the Christopher Reeve classic.
Yeah. I was going to make a horrible joke.
You got your Shaft. You got your Superfly. You got your Foxy Brown. Any of those are great. But since we're already doing coffee, I feel like Foxy Brown is kind of the same.
I would like to put Truck Turner as a vote.
Sure. Okay, one vote for Truck Turner. We got Dolomite.
Just watch all of them.
Dolomite is kind of that's kind of like if you're going to do that genre, that Dolomite
also sounds like a great choice.
Then you got Woodstock, Vanishing Point, Billy Jack, Dracula 1972, Mitchell, the un-MSDK 3K version, Tommy, Quadrophenia, Death Race 2000, and then the Sgt. Pepper.
Just watch them all.
I almost want to do that Sgt. Pepper.
It's the Bee Gees. Dude.
It's awful.
You know what's going to happen? We're all going to give it like a one. You know, even you who don't like the Beatles is going to give it a one.
What if I love it?
You're not.
He might actually like it.
Let me tell you this. If you don't like those songs, you're not going to like them any better with the Bee Gees singing them.
With what's his face going super high?
What about Night Fever? Did they do Night Fever? Okay.
Not in this movie.
I like Slapshot too. Paul Newman. All right, guys. I mean,
we need a third.
Should we randomize it?
Yeah, let's random the third.
So nobody's that interested in Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
I wouldn't mind
think
watching.
Be interesting
it.
To
or
see
MASH?
The
was anybody right. interested?
I love
wanted MASH.
MASH.
I've never seen it.
Oh,
I love MASH.
Okay, all in
I mean,
favor.
I haven't seen like 90% of those movies. So
all in favor of the original MASH, because that'll be two Robert Altmans we're throwing in there. All in favor of the original MASH, raise your hand. There's
I'm
three.
Fine with it.
All in favor of the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Or the remake of Invasion.
Just the same people voted.
So MASH.
I'd go MASH over the Body Snatchers.
Okay.
So we're going to do MASH, Life of Brian, Nashville, Coffee, Zardoz, and Star Trek, the motion picture.
That's a good mix.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. We're not going to get to the 80s until summer. I was hoping to be in the 80s by...
Nah, fuck it.
That's okay.
all those good summer 80 flicks.
No, Jake.
80s flicks.
It starts out with like Empire Strikes Back, so we'll be in the middle.
Mario, just read
July.
That list one more time.
Nope.
Come MASH. On, the people at home want to know.
MASH, uh-huh. Life of Brian.
Uh-huh.
Nashville.
Uh-huh.
Coffee.
Uh-huh.
Zardoz.
Okay. No, we're going to hit if I mean Star if we Trek go into the 80s after this, it would be in June.
That's true. No, well, no, cuz we won't hit it. We won't have another digital movie club in May.
Oh, you're going to
No, yeah, never mind.
We're
going to
be gone in June.
Month.
We're going to miss a Wednesday.
That's okay. We'll figure it out. So June will be pickup month. And no, we won't even be in the middle of... We won't be in the 80s till August because we have to go back and pick up movies that we
You know, we're in no hurry. We'll get to the 80s. They're not going anywhere.
John, don't worry about it. You're going to love them.
16
Candles.
I'm dying. T doesn't have
them. I love it.
I already mentioned that. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
He doesn't.
weird silence.
No, I like those. I like all the John Hughes movies. We are going to see one John Hughes movie.
Which is?
I'm not going to tell you.
Your birthday's in June, right? You're going to get so many DVDs.
Just digital movie codes.
My birthday is in November.
If you think the Breakfast at Tiffany's escapade was done you are oh so wrong.
Oh, the donger needs food, man. We got Weird Science. We got... we saw a little bit of that in this week's... there was a lot of slurs in these two movies we just watched.
Jesus. Hey.
Yeah. So,
hey.
The 70s weren't that long ago, yet a different time.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk about that. So, okay. So, those are... Thanks, everybody, who recommended. We're going to do two cycles. So, the first week, we'll just take it in order. Oh, actually, let's not, because we don't want two Altmans in a row, because Altman movies are kind of longish. So, first week, let's do MASH, Life of Brian... And then Coffee.
I gotta find my list.
And then second week we'll do Nashville, Zardoz, and Star Trek the Motion Picture. Boy, that's gonna be a bummer.
Well, you wanna mix them up a little?
MASH, Life of Brian,
that's gonna be a bummer.
MASH, Life of Brian, and Coffee.
Coffee.
Who knows? We might love Zardoz.
And then Zardoz.
You know, it's the guy that did Deliverance. It's
John Boorman.
And he also did Excalibur. So who knows?
Star Trek.
It's just the pictures look ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. MASH, Life of Brian, and Coffee are going to be our first. And that's Coffee with a Y. Coffy. The lovely Pam Grier.
And then what was the third one of the third week, of the second week?
Star Trek, the Motion Picture.
Zardoz, Star Trek, and... Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Nashville's a good one. That's a good one. We should have done the Last Picture Show.
Yeah, yeah. You get no argument here.
Okay. All right, we're ready.
Cool. Show's over. Great.
So this week in the Digital Movie Club, we tackled two. It's War Week here in...
intro.
What? Oh, we forgot to do the intro. Yeah, Anita's here. She can help out.
Anita, you get to do my part this week.
No, you perfected that, and I appreciate you always backing up from the mic. But you perfected that, so I'm just going
to
let
you handle it. I don't get why we always have to do it live when you guys can just record it.
Because it bothers you?
Just like we do the intro live every week.
Bingo.
Because it bothers you.
Mm-hmm. You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready? That was it. Go ahead.
No, it doesn't feel right.
Dun, dun. Dun, dun. Well, I'm waiting for this poor guy to move his head because he's going to get blasted.
He's going
to
shit out of him.
He's going to jump.
Smack his head against the window.
We'll just crack the door and go, you want to step aside?
You want to step back like 5 feet.
Step back about
shit's two. About to get real.
Let's do it quietly this time. Are you ready?
No.
You
can't do it quietly.
Yes,
you
can.
No,
you can't.
One volume.
Dun, dun. Dun, dun.
Digital movies. Digital movies. Digital movies.
You're in the club. He left.
Hey, that guy left.
Hey, welcome to. You want to do it again?
I feel dirty.
Okay, here we go.
Didn't feel right.
Dun dun. Dun dun. Dun dun.
Digital movies! Digital movies! Digital movies!
You're in the club!
It's so much better live.
And now I heard it twice.
Now that guy's going to open the door and go, I heard that.
I heard that. And he was crying. And he just literally crying.
I'm so sorry.
She's laughing so she's crying.
So if we ever do a live show, it'll be a digital movie one.
Yeah, so everybody, the whole audience can get into it.
So at least we know one person enjoys it. Everyone else hates it.
Roxy sent me a video and I of someone doing it on a bucket. With a spray bucket?
Oh, that's nice. What? Yeah, I've seen that
too.
It's
a spray bucket.
What is a spray bucket?
What, with a
bucket? A painter's bucket.
They're using a hose to spray a bucket.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, here it is. Ready? It's crafty. Here it is.
Just imagine.
Listen.
Oh, I forgot to turn the video.
Fuck.
Every time you do this, you always play an ad, too. So I was waiting for that also.
I'm like your grandpa running the soundboard.
Really?
Yeah, he's... There you go.
It's almost like he's peeing, too, though.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
The audience will never know.
That's a heavy flow.
So we had,
I dare you to do that next time you're in a public restroom.
I'll do it.
Okay. All right. Deal.
We can have that fun.
I just need to bring a bucket.
When you're aiming that for that, just remember when you're aiming for that B, yeah. Keep the rhythm.
This show's boiled down to pee jokes.
I know. You know what I hate? I hate guys.
That's a skill to master.
Why do guys feel the need to spit when they're at the urinal? I don't understand.
Why?
Why?
I don't understand.
What? And they're probably spitting on their dick, like you think about it.
Every time I go to a urinal.
Where are you going to the bathroom?
There are all, anywhere.
I agree.
There's
no, this
always,
happens
there's
every time.
Always people who spit when they're
you
in
hear
the urinal.
That,
yeah.
And it's just,
I don't get it.
They're channeling their inner Slim Pickens or something.
Hey, there we go.
They're just cleansing all the fluids from their body.
Yeah. Why don't you just do one of those farmer blows and hold your freaking nose?
Farmer blows.
Hold your nose and blow your
only in the shower.
Yeah.
Farmer blows.
Only in the shower.
Come on down to Farmer Blows.
Eastern most in quality, Western most in flavor.
Come on down to Farmer Blows.
So they just spit into the urinal? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It
happens.
It's weird.
Every time.
In front of someone is the...
Yeah. It's just like accepted. Someone did it at the gym yesterday. When I was at the gym, someone did it.
And
it's,
I'm just saying.
It's, like it's a guy thing.
He's got
you know?
His dick in his hands while he does it. Like, how do you do that?
Oh, man.
You're and just going to spit on yourself.
At the gym, it's worse because there's just people just walking around naked, like, and it's not, it's old people. Yep. Just old guys, just everything's shriveled
what
and wrinkly.
What are you doing to my visual?
Yeah.
I love that. Everything's shriveled.
In my mind, you said gym. I'm like, okay, there's just like guys
no.
in the gym.
No,
and then you
old
said
guys.
Old.
It's all old guys.
Changed,
it's the same thing in the women's locker room.
You were all excited. Like, oh, okay.
Oh,
then he said,
it,
all
got
that.
It.
Oh.
Shriveled?
Do you guys know, do you remember The Office where the Michael really likes the way he looks in jeans? You remember that one?
And then
there's a guy
jeans.
At the gym that really likes the way he looks in his boxer briefs, and he just parades around that. And it's like, dude, okay, we get it. You like your boxer briefs, bro. Just do your business. You don't need to be wandering
around.
You don't
need to around. See your fruit
of the loom. Yeah, you don't need to be, you know. But get the locker next to the scale. How about that? There's a locker right next to the scale. You don't have to. Oh,
then people have to come to you.
Anyway, sorry about that, guys.
You're hurting my cheek.
Sorry, I'm not one of these guys. I shower, I go to the gym, I go home, I shower like a human being.
It's
I don't
the
shower
show that hurts your cheeks.
Yes, it's the show that hurts your face. Welcome to superiority.
And breaks your heart.
But it's also like honey in your ear holes. So.
What are we talking about?
We have two movies.
The gym.
1979.
1941.
We
have from 1979, we have 1941 and Apocalypse Now. Where...
1941.
To begin.
1941. Oh.
You want to start with 1941?
Sure. All
right.
Yeah, let's get the good one out of the way, and then we'll talk about it.
Whoa.
Let's get the bad one out of the
Whoa.
Way.
Whoa.
Wait, first of all.
Damn, there's going to be some controversy.
I like this. There's going to be some controversy.
Let's
talk about 1941. This is a controversial movie in Steven Spielberg's...
That was a Steven
repertoire?
Spielberg movie?
Yeah.
Didn't you watch the credits? It said a Steven Spielberg movie.
That's true. I just played it without telling
Did you not
Spielberg.
Watch the opening scene?
No, I saw it, but... What?
Didn't you catch the Jaws parody at the first 2 minutes?
I did.
That's
I did.
Him.
That's
it just made me realize he can't make a movie that they don't do a Jaws parody now.
That's weird, because I even told Patrick, I'm like, they're copying Jaws? I didn't even realize
it said
was
a
him.
Steven Spielberg movie.
Okay, this is from
said.
1979. On Rotten Tomatoes, we got a 39%.
Mm.
On IMDb, a 5.8. But in my heart, this is a 10.
Hey,
and
ratings at the end of the show.
Shout out to my brother Frank, who introduced me to this movie, and... all because he remembered the scene where they were trying to make Slim Pickens poop, and he thought it was the funniest thing ever. And then he showed it to me, and I was like 12 years old and could not stop laughing. Like, Anita was laughing at your Digital Movie Club intro. I was laughing. at hearing Slim Pickens making
with his shoe.
I've been constipated for a week.
I just love the line. You ain't getting shit out of me. Oh.
And then Toshiro Mifune goes, "This has not been honorable."
Well, yeah, this is the. There's a lot of reasons I love this movie.
I bet you love all the dancing. I love everything.
What's funny is that I watched this movie the least of all for the comedy. There's the cast. There's the fact that it's like L.A. in the 40s.
Nice.
It's based on an actual incident.
They actually get all the look of it just perfect.
It's a very solid period piece.
Yeah, the miniatures and all that.
Whether or not it's funny is really up to you. There are funny moments. I think it's hard to sustain a comedy past 90 minutes.
It's overstuffed.
Yeah.
It's like it's a Mad Mad World or the Great Race.
Yes.
You know, comedy doesn't do well when you pass the 2-hour mark.
Exactly.
It just becomes like a big white elephant.
But I still like watching. I'll still watch
it. I love all the touches. You know, stuff like Joe Flaherty. He's in it for 2 minutes or 1 minute, and you just laugh your ass
basically off. Basically playing Xavier Cugat.
Have you figured out why he's got a mouse on it, a white mouse on his shoulder?
Because Xavier Cugat used to carry a chihuahua.
Ah, okay. I'm watching this thing going, I can never figure out why he's got a mouse on his shoulder.
It's a little tribute to... There's a lot of little nods to that.
Oh, boy.
Even the tank that they drive is a nod to Sahara with Humphrey Bogart. It was named Lulu Bell.
Did he smile?
I don't know. Okay, let's start. Who had seen this movie before?
Nope.
Me
and John.
Okay.
You had seen it before, Patrick?
Mm-mm.
I thought you'd seen it before.
I heard about it.
Jake had not seen it before?
Never even heard of it.
Anita had never seen it before? Justine had never seen it before. Justine loved it.
Just make me go last.
Why?
I'll go last.
You know, this was a big flop, which a lot of people haven't seen it because it was a flop.
Yeah.
When it was in the theaters, it was a flop.
Yes.
You know?
It bombed. It made its money back, but it was never considered...
I think Spielberg wanted to do... He loved Animal House. He says, I'll just do Animal House. But one critic at the time, on the DVD, it lists all the reviews. And one critic, I think from Time Magazine, said, this makes Animal House look very sophisticated. When you look at the two of them, you know, it looks restrained and sophisticated compared to 1941.
This is very Three Stooges. Yeah. This is very much, and mind you, this is brought to you guys by the same team that wrote Back to the Future. Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale wrote it.
Makes sense, yeah.
Makes sense. What really makes sense is who was in on the story was John Milius.
Yes.
You know, who was doing like Apocalypse Now. He's in on that script, yeah.
That's very much a, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. It's kind of falls somewhere in between. It's not quite the parody that Airplane is.
It's not as light on its feet. Airplane is very light on its feet.
Yes.
This is just... Elephantine, you know, it's just like
Bull in the China Shop.
But you love it.
But I love it because there are moments that are just charming.
Yeah, there's really nice moments. I agree.
But they're buried. It's like a 2.5-hour movie. They're just buried.
Mm-hmm.
But I love all the miniature work.
Yes.
And the sets and the costumes.
I'm a big fan of the cast.
And
everybody's in it.
I love all the Dan Aykroyd stuff because he's probably the least offensive guy in the movie. There's a lot of people, you know, that aren't very good or whatever. He's just perfectly on point. His tone is just right on the money.
Oh, he's very funny in this movie.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Look at Jake, because Jake is like Jake's our resident comedy lover.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think, Jake?
It's not the best. There are parts that definitely drag on, but there are a lot of funny moments.
Mm-hmm.
In there. The thing with Stretch and the other I forget the name of the other guy.
Wally.
Yeah.
Wally. We're fighting over the girl. I thought it was funny, and the girl who was like. Literally humping Stretch's leg the entirety of the movie.
That's the sister from Back to the Future. I can't remember her name
also
right now.
Also Bosom Buddies.
And Bosom Buddies. Yeah. And she passed away.
Wendy Jo Sperber.
That's who it is. She was also in I Want to Hold Your Hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a great movie, by the way.
And that's Zemeckis and Gale.
And Used Cars, which we should
Those are small comedies.
Yeah.
Very small. So it goes to show you they're a little better if you reduce the scale,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because this is after I Want to Hold Your Hand, which was their first comedy.
Yeah.
And
Used Cars.
Used Cars with Kurt Russell.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That's
Used Cars.
If you've never seen Used Cars, watch it. It has one of the greatest.
Was it on the digital movie list?
It's not.
Nope.
Because it's hard to find.
You got Kurt Russell playing twins.
Nope. Not watching it.
That's right. No, it's Jack Warden playing twins.
Jack Warden playing twins.
But Kurt Russell is.
But you do get Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell is a young.
A very young Kurt Russell.
And he's playing a used car salesman.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's the movie that comes between the Disney films. And Snake Plissken.
Yeah.
Used Cars.
That's $2,000. That's too fucking high. And then he shoots the car. Okay.
Yeah. Zemeckis.
Jake, what did you think?
Yeah, yeah. And it just goes to show the lengths a man will go through to get laid.
That's the subtext of the movie.
Yep. What a man will do to get laid.
Yeah.
He'll join the army and get on a tank and
fly a plane.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah. Tim Matheson. It's almost like he's the same character from Animal House.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's on purpose, I'm sure. Yeah, that's amazing. When he's finally in the plane, he's really like, okay, I got to fly the plane now.
Yeah.
I can't do what I wanted to do.
There's all these sexual, these terrible sexual double entendres.
But that is wonderful. Now she's in the mood. He's all, no, we don't have a radio. I got to fly the plane.
Did you guys catch the little spoof of Dr. Strangelove when they're going through Slim Pickens' pockets? Yeah. And
one genuine rabbit's foot.
Yeah.
One box of Popper Jack.
Swallows the compass.
I love that they're going to use it. They're like, hey, a workable compass.
I also love that you have Christopher Lee as the Nazi officer. He's speaking German, and Toshiro Mifune, everybody's favorite samurai of all time.
You know, their scenes are very good.
Those are very, because they're playing it absolutely straight.
They have to.
They're playing it absolutely straight.
Yeah.
Even when they're delivering stupid lines, you know, like, this has not been honorable.
I love this stuff. Yeah, with the radio, we got to find a way to make these smaller.
Love it.
Let's, you ain't going to get shit.
We're going to leave our... We're gonna leave our. Great. Should we go to our guest first or should we go to our guest last?
Last.
Well, Justine... Okay, so Justine, you're going second to last. Okay. Patrick?
It's a funny movie. It's not... As a whole movie, it's not the greatest movie in the world.
No.
But there are great moments. I completely agree. Belushi's really funny in this, and so is Aykroyd. I think that they make a lot of... really great moments, like when Aykroyd's in the tank, still loses his mind, sticks the oranges in the pan.
I'm a bug.
It's just like there's small funny moments that are really enjoyable, like when Belushi lands the plane at the gas station for the first time,
and that's also the gas station from Duel.
Yeah,
there's a lot of references. That Spielberg references himself a lot in this movie.
So like those were great. I mean, the Jaws thing I could have done without. It's like whatever. And then the submarine scenes are great. I think those were really well done. But I mean, as a whole, not the greatest movie. It has its moments. I laughed.
The two John Belushi lines that make me laugh is when he's about to steal a motorcycle and he says, "Oh, look, a baby wolf," and it's John Landis all dusted up.
You know, I didn't figure it until just last night that that's John Landis.
Yeah.
I rewound it and went, "That's John Landis." You could the voice.
Yeah,
he goes, he's sitting in Dumbo. You can see the dust when he claps. The dust flies.
Oh, I do love the scene where. Oh, and then when John Belushi steals a motorcycle, and he says, Stretch and the girl are hitchhiking, and he says, "You know where?" He's like, "You know where this pier is?" He's like, "Yeah, I know where it is." And then John Belushi just goes, "Get in!" Yeah, he's like, "Get in!" with his cigar. That always makes me laugh. So
he's very funny in this.
He is very funny,
and like his moments are small, but they're good.
We saw our buddy Warren Oates from Wild Bunch. He's the guy out in the desert.
He looks like Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, he looks like Teddy Roosevelt
with the glasses and the mustache.
I love that he's watching Dumbo and crying.
Yeah,
That's a nice moment.
And he goes to the movie and he's like, "I want to see something lighthearted." He's like, "Dumbo's not the choice for you, my friend."
He's tearing up and then he's singing along and he's like, "Can't you leave me alone?"
Yeah,
what's going on? And he's based on a real guy.
Yeah, he looks like General Stilwell.
There is a General Stilwell, yeah.
He was captured in when the Philippines fell. He was captured when the Philippines fell. And he does look like Joseph Stilwell. He really does.
But he's one of the few people in the movie, like Christopher Lee, that is playing it straight.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes him shine, you know, because all around him is this madness. And yeah,
I love it. I still love this movie. I will die. I will go to my dying day.
It's like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All that stuff with Joe Flaherty in the dance hall.
Well, you know, my people are well represented by the Zoot Suiters.
Is that the Palladium? It looks like they shot that in the Palladium with the balconies and all that.
I don't know.
Yeah. The whole thing when the punch hits him in the face and he wakes up.
That's a great, you got that whole Rube Goldberg thing where the thing falls and then the ribbon comes down. And Justine.
You look so mad.
Justine loved it.
I don't think I like humor war movies. I don't know. I was like, it's going to be a war movie. And I got so excited.
But it's a comedy.
Nope. And it's not. It's not at all. My heart was just in a different place with that one.
Well, it's based on a real, there was a real, it was called the Phantom Air Raid, where there was a night in 1942 where people thought they saw something in the sky and they lit up the
song about it too.
Yeah. And so it actually did, it's kind of based on that, but Yeah, it's a comedy. It's
yeah,
not...
I didn't know that. So I was like all prepared, like, yes, I have a war.
Where is Hollywood?
Okay, so I watched Apocalypse Now first.
Oh, very nice.
So then when I got to 1941, I'm like, cool. Like,
you said a real war movie.
Story. Yeah. yeah.
World War
II. And I was
II.
Like, this will be cool because we're going to watch war. I'm ready. And then when I saw John Belushi, I mean, beginning part with the Jaws thing, I was like, great, this is not the same.
When you saw Naked Woman on, like, on Periscope?
I told Patrick, I was like, wait, she's a nurse, isn't she? What is she doing?
At what point did you say to Justine, you know this is a comedy, right?
I didn't.
No, I didn't.
Did I just let her figure it
when
out.
When the house fell?
Yeah, I knew.
I mean...
I was just watching it like this.
You find out
very
in the first
serious.
5 seconds this isn't a serious movie.
I was waiting for it to turn. I'm like, maybe it's just bad acting and they're just making bad choices.
Yeah.
And
then...
That's cruel, Patrick. You should have said, you know this is a comedy,
I'm
right?
I'm what do you expect? Sometimes you got. I didn't that, show who directed it. Like, I just clicked play.
Yeah, how did that not come up in the conversation? We're going to watch this comedy. You know?
I had to find out the hard way.
So, anyways.
It's Spielberg's only really true
I love
comedy.
The, I That's love the cover for this one. It's just black. When I rented it, there's no picture. It's just black.
Oh, they don't have the... Sometimes Amazon does that.
Yeah.
Oh, probably because it's got the rising sun on the poster.
No. They just do it on some of the movies. They don't have a poster for it. Yeah.
I like it when they do that because it's great because you don't know. You're not getting anything
mine
ruined.
Mine had a cover.
Really? Yeah, some of them do, some of them.
I had that poster, you know, with him flying down Hollywood Boulevard.
It looks like a Mad Magazine.
It does.
I just like, happy. You know, Belushi's you been chasing it? Him from, nope. you know, San Francisco all the way through, lost him somewhere in Fresno, and now there's fields in Pomona with secret airstrips.
So yeah, no, that's another thing. Laugh. You didn't laugh once?
Do you remember me laughing?
No.
He didn't laugh one time. Uh-uh. Not even when he was trying to poop?
No, the only time I was entertained when they were dancing.
That is a great scene.
Mm-hmm. Because he's like, that guy can dance. And he goes to the wall and does the little flip thing like they do in... Singing in the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
But nope, I was not. I think I just, in my mind, was ready for a war movie.
Nope.
So Patrick is the one that we're really blaming this one on Patrick.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. That kind of skewed it.
Not prepared.
I didn't give her any information. I was fair.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, well, be like, hey, just a heads up.
You're going to hate this movie.
Well,
no, but you could say it was a comedy.
Let's talk to Anita. Anita had no idea what to expect.
She makes her own choices.
I mean, we don't know what it is, but. I think I just wanted a war movie because the other one was not a war movie.
There was war in it.
There was war in there, yes.
There was war in both these movies.
A little bit.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
There was.
I think I know what Justine's beef is going to be about in Apocalypse Now.
There was, but it was just...
Not a straightforward war movie.
I was okay with it. I was only entertained when he was dancing. That was it.
Okay, that's a fair assessment.
It was a good dance.
That's a very well done scene, too.
It was. Yeah.
Because some famous choreographer put that whole thing together.
Because it shows you where Spielberg, because he has that, and then you can look at the beginning scene of Temple of Doom, and there's that whole dancing, so you can tell like that kind of...
He loves that stuff.
I was watching all the guys' flips, and he was hold on to someone and get there, and then flip over on the table. I was like, that's so cool. And even the punch part was really cool.
There's some great moments in this movie.
Yeah.
As a whole, does it work?
No.
Well, let's ask Anita.
She still looks so mad, though.
We're used to that look.
Anita, let's talk about it. Anita, you had no idea.
I had no idea.
And it was so late in the game, I didn't even tell you. I just said, hey, just we're going to watch Apocalypse Now. It's on Netflix. Check it out. Because we talked late last week. And I was like, yeah, she'll have time to watch one movie, maybe. You went it on your own and rented 1941.
Do you do what we do and watch it the day before?
I watched 1941 yesterday and then Apocalypse Now the day before.
Okay, good.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's fresh.
Yeah. It's fresh.
All right, what did you think?
I liked 1941.
You did?
I enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting anything. And I.
Good job.
My favorite part was when they were in the kitchen cooking.
Oh, in the beginning.
Shit's just flying all over the place.
I was like, are they going to serve this food to the people?
I love when he's cleaning the guy's face and he goes, Dad, we got a jitterbug hunt. He's like, hey, jitterbug hell, go back and kill them cockroaches back there in the flower shed. Like in the middle of the floor, like everybody's out in the restaurant. What I love is that joke that keeps in where they keep... Where Dan Aykroyd keeps making fun of the way that he dresses.
Yeah. Like, you have got a real problem with your wardrobe. Everything you wear is a...
Yeah.
I don't need a tip. I think you do.
Yeah.
That shirt's in bad taste.
Yeah. See, there are some funny lines in there. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. I had a little crush on Wally. I thought it was cute how he was like chasing her.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's adorable.
Aww. It's like Dora.
That was the girl from Eight Is Enough.
Right, right.
What was Nancy Allen doing at this time? Was she just, was there anything else she was in?
Well, she had just done Carrie.
Oh, okay.
And also Dressed to Kill.
Oh, okay.
So she was actually, doing stuff.
At the, this is a huge cast. There's a lot of people in it and a lot of people who would become famous. John Candy's in it.
Yeah.
He's one of the tank crew.
You don't really get much of him.
Yeah. He does have that great line where he says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take the Sarge home. We're going to put him to bed. We're going to paint the scratches on this tank. And we're going to get this night ever happen. So were you in it for all of the, all 2.5 hours?
It was too long. It was too long.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I once, I think they were like at the, what was Betty? Is that her name?
Yeah.
They were at her house with her family, which I enjoyed her family too. I thought they were cute. But once they were at that point and they were like trying to get the
submarine
and all this stuff.
Trying
like,
to shoot the submarine.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm a little tired.
Yeah, there's that whole last, like if it had just ended with them, like the air raid's over.
You
everybody
get exhausted.
Goes, yeah.
You're like, ugh, is there more?
There's a lot of yelling. There's a lot of...
When the ceiling falls in and the kid goes, wow, that was great. He's like blowing dust. Boy, that was
fun.
That's
right out of Three Stooges. Yeah, I do love all. I do love that. It's just all. It's all spread out. I do love the guys up in the Ferris wheel.
Eddie Deason.
I want to know why the
channeling Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, and I also want to know why the dummy talks on its own. Like it just after a while, no one's controlling it.
It's weird that there's a dummy
because it sees it. It just goes, "You guys, look, a sub."
I know, and he's not moving his lips. So you're like, God, this is just supernatural. Yeah.
Dummy's a little creepy.
It's our mayor from. It's the mayor from Jaws is up in the. There's a lot of and then
Brody's wife.
Brody's wife is the lady of the house and
Lionel Stander, Ned Beatty. It's a hell of a cast.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in there. I'm glad you liked it, Anita. Yeah. I was worried you weren't going to like it. Now you're going
to happy. I watched that one.
Now you're going to talk about how you hated Apocalypse Now. All right, let's do our ranking. There's a lot to talk about with this movie with the cast and references.
Did we do the ratings?
And just check it out. It's worth checking out. It's kind of a curio because it's Spielberg's only real comedy he's ever done.
That's probably why he didn't do another one. This one got slammed. He just said, well, that's it for comedy.
Yeah, but yeah. There's some funny stuff that's
he
in the
said,
script.
Jokes on me.
And there's some great performances.
Yeah, if you like the Three Stooges, this is like the Three Stooges on steroids.
Mostly by Slim Pickens in the Hollis Wood.
It's worth it. Yeah. Where Hollywood? Right here. I'm right here in front of you.
So offensive, but yet so funny.
I knew it. You're all in cahoots.
Oh, I love when he says it. A Nazi.
You're in cahoots.
I knew it. You're all in cahoots.
I'm not telling you squat.
What does
he
tell
him? Oh, and then he starts singing the song from World War I. Over here.
I love it. What does he say? We
kicked your ass in World War I.
Oh, so good. Ugh. And then he floats. And then at the end, I don't know if you noticed, he's in his underwear. He's got Christopher Lee on a rope, and he's bringing him up to the house at the very end. So he's
that.
Got.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and then Toshirô Mifune, who is, you know, Akira Kurosawa's number one, like one of the greatest actors of all time in world cinema. You have him as the Japanese commander. And there's a really great story that John Milius tells when he got there. All the guys that were hired to be the Japanese sailors were like Americans. And they were just kind of like, you know, hanging out and like smoking cigarettes or whatever. And I guess, well, Toshirô Mifune had been in the Japanese army in World War II. And he asked Spielberg, he said, can I please be in control of these? And he said, yeah. He said, I'll show him how we did it. He slapped a dude. He slapped one of the dudes. And after that, they all lined up. And he said, by the end of the movie, he said they would have followed him to death. But they said he really did it like a real, like.
Well, it works because they certainly seem like they're soldiers. Yeah.
I always wanted to see how he and Christopher Lee got along. I always wanted to know how that went.
Sure.
I love Christopher Lee. You know, we know him from all the Dracula movies and stuff. And
I'm sure they were.
He was
friends.
A perfect. Choice to play the
I'm
sure they were best friends.
Hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good stuff. Anyway, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, we'll see them again very soon in another.
Isn't it weird? One last thing. It's weird that they never end up in a scene together.
No,
the whole time you're waiting, they're even on the DVD box. They got them side by side.
Yeah,
you think they're like the Blues Brothers. They're going to be hanging out the whole movie. They're never in a scene.
They're never
together.
In a scene together. Really,
the closest they get is when he's saluting him on the sub. And just go. How did they get through an entire movie without being together in one scene? You know,
that's it. There's a lot of people in this movie that aren't in scenes with other people. It's kind of weird. Because the whole Ned Beatty thing is kind of happening independently of everything else.
Sure. So. Yeah.
All right, let's rank them. John, what do you give 1941?
For strictly sentimental reasons, I'm going to go higher than you would think. I'm going to go a 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jake?
I would give it a 6.
6? Patrick?
7.
7? Justine?
I give it a 5.
That's not bad.
No, it's almost as good as Casablanca.
Anita?
Almost. Almost.
I would give it a 6.
And he's going to give it a 6. I'm going to give it a 7. I'm going to give it a 7.
I had fun.
It makes me, I still laugh every time I watch it.
It more than I thought I was going
to
like
the
it.
The secret to me is I don't watch the whole thing at once. I'll watch it in bits.
Right, right.
So it's like I'll watch certain, but I can watch certain sequences over and over. It reminds me of a song by New Edition called Cool It Now.
We'll have to listen to that later.
I love that song.
Yeah, we should
you know,
we should definitely really? Close with that. Yeah.
That's a good one.
That was the original title for 1941.
Yeah, it was Cool It Now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Originally, they were dancing to that right. in the.
That's right.
Yeah. There's even a great nod to Benny Goodman and Gene Krupa with that song that John. It's a great score by John Williams.
That
too.
Sounds like Sing Sing Sing,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
And yeah. The name of that song is Swing Swing Swing. So it's really good. But yeah, it's John Williams wrote a great score for this one.
He did, and I know that people have been looking for it. It's finally out on CD. People have been looking for it.
I had it. Yeah. It was out. My friend had it on vinyl. I had a copy of it.
Yeah.
And then it came out on CD for a very brief period, and I got it. And then now it's out of print again. So.
Right. Anything connected to this movie as far as soundtracks and books and stuff, it just disappeared because it wasn't. Everybody thought it was going to be like Animal House. Like, let's strike while the iron's hot. Mm-hmm. And it just did not do the business.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because we've moved on. You know why, John?
Why?
We're moving into, you know where we're going right now? Saigon.
Christ.
Still in freaking.
Still in Saigon.
Still in freaking. Yep. Still in freaking Saigon. This is the end.
My lonely end. The end.
Let's talk about it, man.
I'm just picturing Justine sitting there going, this is pretty artsy fartsy.
Let's talk about it, man. Who had seen Apocalypse Now before?
Yep.
So John and Patrick raising their hands.
I saw it when I was like
I had seen it, of
16.
Course. I've seen this now. We did. Now, if 1941 reminds me of my brother Frank, this movie reminds me of my brother Lou. My brother loves this movie. We quoted to each other ad nauseum. We can quote any scene. We can act it out for you if you want us to.
How old were you?
I saw this movie when I was probably about 14 or 15.
In the theater?
His is worse than mine.
No. I saw it on for the first time when I worked at the video store, like when I was in high school. It was the first time I saw it. But this is one of the movies that my brother would buy anytime he bought a new sound system.
Oh, yeah.
He would buy this. He had it on VHS, had it on Laserdisc, had it on DVD.
This was the earliest trying to get that surround sound.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this at the Cinerama. At the Cinerama Dome when it opened, and you could hear the helicopters going from the back to the front of the theater. They had all the stereo. It was like quadraphonic. Mm-hmm. So you could hear them flying overhead at the beginning.
What was that like?
Everyone was like, whoa, this is some sound system.
Yeah.
Know?
That's crazy.
Yeah, because Lucas was already starting to do that with the Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then Coppola said, let's really get some surround sound going. Yeah.
There was you could hear like the rotors and all the helicopters and all that stuff. So Anita, Justine, and...
Jake.
Have not seen it?
That's me.
So 3 and 3. Let's talk about it. Let's go with one of the uninitiated. Let's start with Justine, because she loves the war films.
Are you sure you want me to go first?
Yeah, because otherwise we're like, you know, doing all this.
Oh, you guys are trying to bring it back up.
Yeah. Well, there's
you know what's up.
I mean, this is a masterpiece, so.
Yeah.
Cinematic masterpiece.
Are you telling me everything they want again?
A cultural icon. Yeah.
Should just have a copy paste for everything that you say before a movie.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Yeah, well, because they're all in my collection, all right? I don't watch crap, so let's remember that.
A psychological
I'm really curious.
Adventure.
I'm really curious because you like war movies, so I really want to know what your perspective on this is.
It was, so the whole takeaway from it was like the, what was that, Arabian?
Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Good, like beautiful, long movie. I get the story, like, that's great. But I didn't need it to be that
This
long
is based on Heart of Darkness by Joseph
that's
Conrad.
That's what she said. But just get to the point. It's just, I didn't need it to drag out that much. But... I mean, it had some good moments in there, but them just shooting people just to shoot, and then they find that lab, and it's so cute, but so sad.
I thought you meant like drug lab. I was like, wait a minute, what cut did you see?
No, they had the little puppy.
97% on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.5 on IMDb. Francis Ford Coppola, directed by. Released August 15, 1979.
Glimpse into the horrors of the Vietnam
War. A budget of $31.5 million. Continue, Justine, I'm sorry.
So at the end, were you kind of like, did you feel wore out by the end?
Wore out? Did you do that on purpose, John?
No, I didn't. I wish I had, but were you kind of like spent by the time you get
to the end? Well, at the end of it, I was like, maybe I don't like war movies.
What's that? What's that?
At the end of it, I was thinking that maybe I don't like war movies.
You like, well, a, you like a certain
World War
type.
One, yeah, World War II.
But then I considered this one to not really be a war movie.
It's not traditional war movie.
I get the message it's trying to do, which is great, but... it is artsy fartsy. This is probably the most artsy fartsy thing you've made us watch so far.
Really? You think so?
Yeah.
Luckily we didn't watch 2001.
You know, it's funny when you're doing a World War II movie, it's a little easier to do a straightforward narrative. I think because it was Vietnam, he definitely had a message he wanted to get across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something that they're trying to say. Yeah.
There's a lot of big
great,
messages
but...
from Vietnam.
Oh yeah.
That was a long one. Thank you.
It is long, yeah.
That's what she said.
And you know what? It was going to be like a half hour longer, and they cut it out. There's a whole 20-minute sequence on a French plantation.
If they find,
And they wanted to find out, you know, to give that perspective, the French were there before we were. He thought that would be, and they said, nope, that's got to go. It's another 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Even when, I forgot his first name, but Fishburne?
Lawrence Fishburne, Lawrence, yeah.
When he died, I was pretty bummed out. Yeah. I was really bummed out. And then they had to play the mom talking. I was like, yeah, this is artsy fartsy.
Why is that artsy fartsy?
It was artsy fartsy.
You made me say fartsy. That's terrible.
But
I don't agree.
That's what we're all about.
The thing, though, it was very dramatic for everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Vietnam.
Yeah.
I think you wanted to show just how insane Vietnam was.
Yeah.
I mean, they
showed
it.
That's the point.
You're like, they showed it.
No, they proved their point.
There hadn't been a lot of Vietnam movies up to this point. By 79, there might have been only like one, like Green Berets with John Wayne or that one with Burt Lancaster. And he said it took him like a year or longer to film this thing in the Philippines. And by the time it came out, there was already like a couple more, like Deer Hunter. Mm-hmm. And they were working on, you know, there's already now he wasn't like the first one to hit the ground with the Vietnam movie, you know, Coming Home.
Yeah.
And he said he wanted to hit like kind of like every issue with this movie. But it took a long time. He was in the Philippines, I think, for like a year and a half filming this thing. It became there's a documentary on the making of this movie called Hearts of Darkness that his wife made. And it's about how he was almost like Kurtz by the end of making this movie. He's almost like Kurtz. He's obsessed. He's in the jungle. He's shooting this thing. He's just about out of his head.
Guess when we're going to watch that? When we get to the 90s.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we talk about
it. So it took its toll.
All right. And now that we got that out of the way.
Mm-hmm. You might want to make me go next.
Why? You know, let's, all right, let's go. Let's go, Anita.
I volunteer as tribute.
Anita, what did you think of Apocalypse Now?
Yeah.
It was really stupid.
Whoa!
Yeah, I know.
Even Justine didn't say stupid.
It didn't have any, like, what was the point of it? There was no, it was just like they sent one guy with PTSD after another guy with PTSD, and then he killed him. Like, it was just
that's what
like,
a lot of people said about Vietnam. What was the point?
That was it. The point was there was no point.
No, there exactly. was no, there was, the ending was a letdown. I had to rewatch the end three times because I just couldn't. I couldn't get through it.
Well, here's one thing that changed the ending that you two might not know. They had to change the ending completely because the whole time they're talking about Colonel Kurtz, he's this badass. He went into airborne when he was 38, all this stuff. When Marlon Brando showed up, he was like 100 pounds overweight. And so they had to shoot him all in shadow, and he looks weird. And
they didn't even know how they were going to do it. They said, do we bury him in leaves? What do we do? We got to do something to cover his body. And that's why it looks so mysterious. He's in the shadows the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like his face, like it's like a moon coming out of the shadows every time they shoot him.
Yeah. Even true. The moon's afraid of him.
That's it.
So that puts a spin on, you're right. It would have been a whole different thing if he'd been fit. And they're like, what the hell do we do? He was overweight, and he hadn't read the book. They said, all you got to do, Marlon, you don't have many lines, but read Heart of Darkness. He didn't even do that. So he's all, well, see if we get our money worth. But he's got such an aura, such a mystique. They said, well, maybe we can make something out of it.
And for me, that's always been the weakest part of the movie is once they get to where he is.
Yeah.
Everything else leading up to is kind of this odyssey, this journey.
Yeah.
And you're just seeing all this you're basically, like you said, the madness of, and that's what Heart of Darkness is about. It's about someone who goes crazy. It's about, and the person who's sent to kind of find him is kind of battling yeah. that as well. Like you said, it's someone with PTSD going out after somebody else with PTSD. I never thought of it that way, but that's a perfect way to, that's a perfect, actually in your hatred of it, you kind of hit something on the head there.
Excellent point.
It could have been a half hour movie. I think the reason they picked Heart of Darkness, they'd been talking about this for years, Milius, all these guys, they weren't even sure who's going to direct it. I think at one point, even Lucas thought he might direct it. They were all buddies from film school. And they said, how about a contemporary take? How about a Vietnam War movie that's kind of a take on Heart of Darkness? Because that was like 1900s, yeah. going up the Belgian Congo to mm-hmm. find this guy who had gone nuts. And I think they kind of passed it around. Well, you know, Milia said, oh, I love doing war movies, you know. And Lucas said, maybe I'll do it. And it finally landed in Coppola's lap. You know, he'd had some success with Godfather. And he said, well, I forget how it worked. It turned out of all these buddies, Coppola said, I'll do it, you know. Ah. So... But he said the whole thing is, because he's on this river, we can kind of show the whole war. Here's what's going on the ground. Here's what's going on with, you know, the airstrikes. And it'll kind of cover everything that's rotten about the war because he's snaking his way up the river to get to the end. Yeah. But you're right. It's a little bit of a letdown because it's not exactly what you're expecting. All the talk about Kurtz doesn't quite live up to what you get at the end. It's kind of like The Third Man. You spend the whole movie talking about this guy, and then he'd better deliver as far as...
I feel like in that movie he does, yeah. though.
Oh, he does. That's the thing. You talk about Wells all through It's the Third Man. When you finally see him, he lives up to the mystique yeah. and the buildup. With this movie, Brando doesn't quite live up to all the talk leading up to meeting him at the end. You
That's
know?
True. That is true.
What you see is the after effects, all the bodies and the heads and people hanging in the trees.
And that's, Dennis Hopper.
That's horrific, yeah. Dennis Hopper.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Some days he'll just look at you and won't even say anything, man.
He said, you take my picture again, I'm going to kill you. And he meant it.
I mean, you know.
And they said he was out of his head. That's not even acting. They said he was out of his mind the whole time he was there filming.
Who? Dennis Hopper?
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
That is the way Dennis Hopper be. That's pretty much him, yeah.
All right. Jake, what did you think?
I thought it was fantastic. It's this, it just shows the horrors of the Vietnam War that we haven't seen up until this point. And you feel like you're kind of on this journey with them. I kind of like how they bring it down to earth and you're in the boat and you get to see, you know, their little respites of humanity having the playboy bunnies come in and how they're kind of dealing with all. Mm-hmm. With like all that trade stuff that's going on with them, paying for, you know, different things.
Contraband,
all that stuff. And yeah, I thought it was great. Just the ending, yeah. Ending fell a little flat. But there is a nice, there's almost like a mutual respect between the two of them in that they're both kind of broken men
mm-hmm.
from the tragedies of the war. It's just, yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, Martin Sheen has killed people. He's had to kill people.
Yeah.
And so that's weighing heavily on him
and what he had to do to get to this point, only to find out that this man's not unlike him.
Yeah. Yeah, he keeps saying, I don't know what I'm gonna do when I get there. The more I read about him, the more I don't know what I'm gonna do when I actually meet him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Patrick,
great.
Visually, this movie is stunning. It is shot incredibly well, and they do a lot of stuff to highlight the shitty aspects of the war and how it twisted a lot of people from being normal human beings. There's scenes on the boat or even off the boat. You see when they get to, it's right when they get to the bridge, you see, I think it was Logan or Lance get off the boat and you see he's cradling that dog in his shirt while he's walking around. He's taking his helmet off. Like he's losing it.
Yeah.
And then you know, Martin Sheen throughout the whole thing, just struggling with dealing with the fact that he's crazy himself and he's dealing with the issues of killing all those people and then he still has to kill people to get things done, and it's just, it's horrible. Like it's a really dark movie, but it was a really fucked up time period where people did a lot of shitty things.
I thought it was really interesting that you see that Martin Sheen, who's a little older than everybody on the boat, he's a drinker. He's drinking the whole time.
Yeah,
the kids are all smoking weed, and then Lance drops acid, and that's what they're dealing with.
And he's putting wine in his canteen.
Yeah. You know, it's like they all deal with it in a different way.
I had family who was in Vietnam, and, you know, some of them didn't come back quite right.
Same.
It's crazy.
I mean, you know, I think we all know at least somebody or, you know, somebody we're related to or somebody, you know, that we may somebody who lived on our street or something that may have been profoundly changed by the, and this war seemed to change people more than, say, World War II or any of the other wars. It was
because you weren't sure.
Well, we
why
had a purpose.
In it, you know?
Yeah.
And all the other worlds, World War One, World War II, there was this global threat who was trying to eradicate it.
Yeah, think about this
population.
Movie. This movie isn't
this one. What were we doing?
Yeah, this movie isn't about so much, you know, our fight against the North Vietnamese, although you do see that in that sequence with the helicopters. This is about an American killing an American at the end of the day. This is about...
At the end. You're kidding me. Oh, that's typical. You're going to kill one of our guys? Yeah. This whole trip was so you could kill one of our guys?
I'll help you do it, but I'm staying on this damn boat.
Oh, Chef was... Chef is... I think you end up sort of like identifying with Chef through the whole movie.
I love Chef.
And then,
Chef was awesome.
And then poor Chef, man.
Frederick Forrest.
Oh, yeah. But he's a saucier, man. He specializes in sauces.
That whole thing. Why do they call him a chef? Yeah.
Never get out of the boat. Never get out of the boat.
And then bye, tiger! Bye, tiger!
I mean, just the way they killed him off, like, you know, even Clean, when they killed Clean off, like, just to hear the fact that, like, that was so real for them to kill him off and still be listening to his mother on the background of the tape, because that's what happened.
It's
like, they were separated from their families. They were destroyed. Like, this ruined families. It makes sense.
Everybody on that boat gets it. I mean, Chief gets it. You know, gets
a spear
through his... that's a hell of a scene, you know, when he falls over and you think he's going to pull Willard's head right on top of the spear.
Both of them, when they die talking, is pretty dramatic. Because he goes, a spear. And then the other guy goes, the heart.
I feel like that whole thing with him saying a spear was really talking about, like, I've come all this way. I'm in this boat. Like, I have technology, and I got killed by the most primitive weapon.
I've been worried about bullets and grenades, and what killed me was a spear through the chest.
A freaking spear got me.
And right before it happens, they look like they're just little.
Yeah.
He's all, don't fire on them. They're just, you know, just firing twigs, you know? Yeah. This big spear goes right through them.
Ugh.
Oh, man. But you start really liking Chef, and then, man.
Well, everybody on the boat is likable, you know?
No, I mean, Lance, you just go, man, Lance just never comes back after that acid trip.
No.
He just never comes back. Mm-hmm.
That's how he survived Kurtz. That's how he survived Kurtz.
I know, because he just sort of like wanders in with the rest of the natives, you know? You see him putting the oil on the on the bowl,
Oh, God, that scene. Oh, God.
Ugh.
I was not expecting that scene.
Yeah,
that's a crazy scene. I think the way they got around PETA was that was an actual...
And I'm like, no.
I was watching it. I was like, am I a vegetarian now?
I think that was an actual ceremony.
That was an actual ceremony.
I love beef, but I want to see it.
That's how they got around it, that these people were doing this was an actual ceremony, the indigenous ceremony that they did. Otherwise, I don't think PETA would have allowed it, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a crazy scene, though.
I remember
it's... They're trying, you know, it's right before he goes and does his ritualistic slaughter of girls, you know.
Man. But how about
But you do get some levity. You get Duvall. That's the one bit of levity you get is Duvall with the, which is also horrific because they're having a good old time and they're just slaughtering all those
But the
natives,
great, I love that, the way he tells that story. He says, at the end of it, he tells a story about how he says, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory. And then he goes, someday this war is going to end. And you think he's going to say something else, and that's it. He just, like, walks away, like...
But the look on his face is like, oh, well, all good things must come to an
end. Yeah, like...
We're having a pretty good time.
He's really bummed that it's going to end.
That helicopter scene is amazing.
Yeah. You're horrified.
The ride of the Valkyrie, you're just like, oh, my God.
Well, somebody once told me that scene just tears them up because the music is exhilarating.
Yeah.
But then you see what they're doing,
exactly.
And now they're just yucking it up while they're just cutting all these people down with machine guns.
Yeah.
It makes you feel really shitty just to be watching it, you know.
Even the guy who's holding his stomach in with the plate.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
Yeah,
or the girl who blows up the helicopter because what are you supposed to do?
Yeah,
you're fighting for your village or you're fighting for your, you know, you think they're going to kill your parents or whatever, and so you just, what do you do? This movie really does capture the kind of the insanity, and that's what Coppola was going for.
That's what he wanted to
do. Fantastic.
All right, let's rank it. We'll start with John.
It's a 10. It's one of my favorites. It just knocks you out. It's horrific, but, I mean, it's got so much going for it. Performances, the cinematography is insane.
Mm-hmm.
The music is so otherworldly. I think it would play so differently if that soundtrack was different, but it's all those weird synthesizers, and I think Mickey Hart was doing a lot of, like, tribal drumming all through it. So just the images and the acting and the music and just everything. And I think he succeeds. If what he wanted to show was the insanity of Vietnam, he did it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Jake, what do you think?
I give it a 9.
Nine. What kept it from being a 10? The end?
Just the ending just fell slightly flat. I mean, it did kind of make sense how they kind of just had a mutual respect and he didn't know what to do anymore, and they kind of just, he kind of was just there for what, like weeks or something like that.
I don't know how long he ended up being there.
Yeah, it's a little nebulous. You don't know if it's been a night or
there
a
for
week.
Some indistinguishable amount of time, and finally just kind of snaps out of it.
It's crazy though, the farther they get up the river, the crazier things are, because they get to that bridge right before and there's no commanding officer. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of guys, they're all high, they're listening to Jimi Hendrix on the tape player.
Every night they blow it up, every morning they build it back up again.
There's a good progression as far as how the characters are doing in this story by the boat itself. You first see the movie, it's a brand new boat, like it looks good, and as it goes, it comes shittier and shittier and destroyed. Just like they do.
It loses a little. Every time the boat loses a piece of itself, it seems like.
Yeah, it's a huge reflection.
And you're right, at the bridge, that's the last moment. Even Chief says, we can turn around, who's going to know? You know, and all those guys with suitcases, take me with you. Yeah. Just like, Jesus.
Yeah.
And then they're in Cambodia. It's like, hell, we're not even supposed to be here.
Yeah.
You know?
What are we going to do now?
Yeah.
Patrick?
It's a 10.
Patrick, this is a 10 from Patrick. And you had never seen it?
I had seen it before.
Okay, you had seen
it. It's a really good movie.
Justine?
I give it a 6.
That's still high. See, I'm always shocked.
It's a Casablanca.
It's the Casablanca of war movies.
See, Justine, here's what I think. I'm not trying to mansplain yourself
mansplain
to you.
Mansplain the shit out of
I'm
her.
Not trying to
do it, Mario.
I'm not trying to mansplain.
Piss off the women in the audience.
I'm not trying to mansplain you to you, but I will tell you this.
Saying sorry before does not justify the mansplaining.
The reason we're always shocked by what you give us is because you only tell us what you didn't like, and you focus on that. So then later on, we're like, you'll say that I just like this, blah, 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 and then a 6, and we're like, okay, but there, what was 6 worthy for you?
I mean, like, there's times like she's
6
giving...
worthy for me is the story. I mean, I get it. I get the story.
The story.
She just didn't like the
beautiful.
Delivery.
Do you like the visuals?
It was artsy fartsy.
It's not heavily artsy.
No, it's not. Like,
I think compared to the
but
Dirty...
But I never said anything that I hated.
I think the cinematography is a little...
I think compared to the Dirty Dozen...
Towards the end, yeah.
It's already compared to the Dirty Dozen, which is a straightforward telling. Mm-hmm. Here we are. We got the guns. We're going to take them out. This is a little... It lingers.
Just a few of them and... Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a little more personal in this one.
This is supposed to fuck with you.
Yeah. Not unlike we wanted.
I
read.
I gave it a 6. Jeez.
No.
That's a good score.
No, I think
especially from her.
Yeah, I think we.
For somebody who's never seen it too. Because it's not a straightforward war movie.
No.
Yeah.
It's just a bit long.
That's what she said.
And no one wants it that long, so.
There's a lot of imagery. There's a lot of.
You just said that so we'd have a soundbite, right? At the end, we could just repeat.
Yeah. Anita.
I don't even want to rate it after all of you.
Why?
No,
because
go for
I feel
it.
Bad. Like,
no,
it
don't,
didn't,
no,
don't. It didn't make me feel anything. Like, I get where everyone's coming from, but I just it didn't
we
make
appreciate
me.
That's
feel
fine.
Anything
that's your
that.
Opinion.
Here's what I do. Like, this is just. I mean.
He'll shut you up after, but give us your number.
Give us your number, like your gut. Like, what would you say?
It's like a 5.
All right.
There's nothing wrong. That's respectable.
Yeah.
Listen, we're talking about a movie that's almost 40 years old, right?
If you can still get a 5 after
We're talking about
years.
A movie that's 40 years old about,
you weren't alive
a
for.
A war that you weren't around for. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's...
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not a bad score.
I mean, we rated Patton.
It's hard to
you
put yourselves in their shoes.
You guys all gave it
shoes,
an
you know?
8, and I gave it a 2.
Yeah.
Patton was a great damn
and I
movie.
Sat by
I don't
that.
Care what you
I still
say.
Stick to
which
that
movie?
Too.
Patton, his speech, oh, still gets me.
Yeah, I give Apocalypse Now. This is an 8 for me. This is an 8. I love there are high points, but I said, you know, like once you get to that last half hour, just kind of
right.
Just,
yeah,
they don't quite seal the deal.
Mm-mm. They let you down.
Yeah, and if you're not on board with him going to take out this other officer, then, you know.
It doesn't bother me as that. It's just that Brando kind of ruins it because of... Knowing what I know ruins it because it's kind of like, I mean, wow, dude, like, this is somebody else's project. You couldn't... This is the guy that got you an Oscar that you turned down for Godfather, but this is the director that kind of...
Put him back on the map.
Put him back up, put you
before
on the map.
Before Godfather, he was off the map. Yeah.
You couldn't lose some weight.
Could read a book.
He's a chunky boy in this.
Did you see our boy Harrison Ford make a little cameo? Yes.
When I saw him, I was like, great.
Did you see?
He's going to suck. But he wasn't in that one.
Greg, did you see what his name was? Lucas.
Really?
And they call him Luke. He says, Luke, turn on the tape recorder over there. Okay, that's weird.
Yep.
But also, the general that sends him on the mission is the senator.
Right.
From Godfather. So in both movies today, you see the kind of directors kind of working with guys that they had worked with before that they liked. So it's kind of like these little road company things. But okay, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Digital Movie Club. It's a shorter episode today. We are going to drop a little bit later. We're going to drop our bonus episode of the Game of Thrones finale. So Anita will be joining us for that. So Anita, thank you for joining us for this. How did it feel to be on a full-fledged episode?
It felt good. It felt right.
I like this.
That's good.
We need her more often.
Well, see, we need
more female views and more dissenting opinions. Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. It can't all be tens.
Yeah.
No, I make sure of that all the time.
She's got this.
We know you just hate everything. We know Anita might like something else.
Anita liked 1941.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that was a curveball. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like expecting her not to like it, and she liked it.
So, let's get her more often. Yeah.
It's weird. Everyone's different.
So, Anita, we need
opinion.
You to go back and watch all the other movies so we can get your scores on those so we get the list up to date.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's a lot of movies.
That's a lot of movies.
Let's just rewatch everything, re-record it, and then have your opinions.
88 movies. It's 88 movies. You can do it.
You got it. We'll give you, what, like 3 weeks?
Damn.
Month? Maybe.
No. We start with Frankenstein.
Is someone going to support me?
That's 200 hours. If you break it up, that's 10 days.
It's more than 200
hours. If you sign up on our Patreon for a $5 monthly fee, you can get Anita to watch all these movies.
88 times 2 is 176.
We only had 3 movies where we almost all agreed.
And what were those?
It was Jaws, and you guys missed it by, I give it a 9.5, you guys were all 10.
You bastard. Yeah.
Young Frankenstein, I gave it a 9. You guys all went higher.
Itch.
And in Star Wars, Jake gave it a 9. A New Hope. So we almost
You're still mad about
it.
That,
so
aren't
close.
You?
I know what movies...
What should we do? The day that we all... hit the same score, we should all go out to
dinner. Well, that's why I always go last, because if it's a movie that one of you guys... If Star Wars isn't getting it unanimous, nothing's getting it.
I missed one. Patrick ruined it, this one. The Godfather. Damn. He gave it a 9.5.
I remember that.
I stand by that, because Godfather 2 was
worth a
10.
Oh, and he also did that to Paper Moon, 9.5.
I stand by that, too.
How did you not give Paper Moon a 10?
Because it's a 19 fucking whatevers, and it sucked.
What?
What was it? I know. That's pretty good.
I just don't like that time period.
I want my $200. Give me my $200.
But I don't have it.
I want my $200.
All right.
Eat your Coney Island.
You know what you guys need to do? Honestly, I'm not even joking around.
Be cool?
No. Don't be cool.
Cool it down.
No.
I got a paper cut.
What?
We were talking about Paper Moon. She got a paper cut.
You should cool it now.
Don't stop.
Are we still on there?
What? Okay, everybody. The reason we're playing this song is because Anita requested it. And
we try to shoot
just so we cover our basis for fair use act. Let's all rate this song. What do you give this song, Anita?
A 9.
It's a 9. It is a happy little tune. Jake, what do you give this song?
It's like 8.
Song. Patrick?
7.
Justine?
10.
We were going down.
Oh, I like this. I like this song.
John doesn't like synthesizers, but what do you think, John? John Gilligan's at a 6.
I'm bobbing my head. It must be. It must have something.
This is Apocalypse Now of. I'm going to give this one. I think this gives a 7. All right, guys. For Patrick, for Jake, for Justine, for John, Sandy, for our guest Anita, we say this transmission ends now. Fight the power!